girls, what'll we do? Ada, too, had cried out, I'll have to go to work. Oh, I can't bear the thought of it. When the furor died down, Mr. Drew read on, To Grace and Allison Hoover, my household furniture now in the possession of Mrs. Richard Topham. There was a gasp of surprise from everyone in the room, and Mrs. Topham half arose from her chair. It was generally known in River Heights that she had practically confiscated Josiah Crowley's furniture at the time he had been induced to make his home with the Tophams. How insulting, the woman cried. Does Josiah Crowley dare hint that I took his furniture? I'm sure I don't know what was in his mind at the time he wrote the will, Mr. Drew told her with a smile. Grace Hoover interposed quickly. We have enough furniture without Josiah Crowley's. Allison nodded. We'll not take any of it from you, Mrs. Topham. Mr. Drew carefully folded the document he had been reading, and after placing it in his pocket, he said to the people in the room, That is all, except that there is a proviso for the executor to pay all Mr. Crowley's just debts, including his funeral expenses, and that what balance is left in the estate goes to the Manningham Old Men's Home. I understand Josiah Crowley kept his assets in a liquid state. It will not be difficult to convert the estate into cash. For that reason, I should think it would be possible to draw on your inheritances at once. Ada wheeled upon Nancy, her face convulsed with anger. You engineered this whole thing, Nancy Drew, she accused bitterly. Any good I've done, I'm happy about, Nancy answered. We'll break the will, Mrs. Topham announced firmly. Chapter 20. A Happy Finale. Of course, you may take the matter into court if you like, Mr. Drew responded to Mrs. Topham's threat. But I warn you it will be a waste of your time and money. If you don't wish to accept my judgment, ask your own lawyer. Mr. Drew is right, the other lawyer said after arising and looking carefully at the legal document which Mr. Drew took from his pocket. Oh, he is he? Mrs. Topham retorted. If that's all you know about law, you're discharged. We'll get another lawyer, and we'll fight to the last ditch. With that, she arose and stalked from the room. Isabel and Ada followed after bestowing a withering glance upon Nancy. Mr. Topham brought up the rear. As soon as the door had closed behind them, their lawyer arose and picked up his briefcase. Well, I can't say I'm sorry to be taken off the case, he remarked as he, too, took his leave. But I advise you to be on your guard. That woman is certainly belligerent. At once, the atmosphere in the Drew living room became less strained. Though each person was fearful Mrs. Topham would make trouble, everyone began to talk at once. Oh, Nancy, I can hardly believe it yet, Allison declared happily. The money means so much to Grace and me, and we owe it all to you, Nancy Drew. You haven't told us how you came to find the will, but I know you were responsible. When the Hoover girls and Mr. Crowley's relatives begged her for the details, Nancy told of her adventure with the thieves at Moon Lake. After she had finished the story, they praised her highly for what she had done. We'll never be able to thank you enough, Grace said quietly. But after the estate has been settled, we'll try to show our appreciation. It was on the tip of Nancy's tongue to say that she did not want a reward when Mr. Drew turned the conversation into a different channel. Mrs. Topham will not give up the money without a fight, he warned. My advice would be to go along as you have until the court has decided to accept this will as the final one. However, if Mrs. Topham and her daughters bring the matter into court, I'll give them a battle they'll never forget. After thanking Mr. Drew and Nancy for everything they had done, the relatives and friends departed. Allison and Grace were the last to leave. On the porch, Allison paused to hug Nancy and say, Please let us know what develops. I'm so eager to start taking voice lessons. Nancy wanted to set off at once to see Abby Rowan and tell her the good news, but upon second thought she decided to wait. Suppose the Topham succeeded in upsetting the whole case. For a week, Nancy waited impatiently to hear the result of the battle over the will. As she and her father had anticipated, Mrs. Topham was fighting bitterly for the Crowley estate. She had put forth the claim that the will Nancy had unearthed was a forged document. This suspense is just awful, Nancy told her father one morning. When are we going to get the final word? I can't answer that, Nancy. But apparently Mr. Topham thinks it's a losing battle. I suppose you've heard about the family. Why, no. What about them? They're practically bankrupt. Richard Topham has been losing steadily on the stock market of late. After his failure to recover the Crowley fortune, the banks reduced his credit. He's been forced to give up his beautiful home. No, really? How that must hurt Mrs. Topham and the two girls. Yes, it's undoubtedly a bitter pill to swallow. They're moving into a small house this week, and from now on they'll have to give up their extravagant way of living. Both girls are working. Personally, I think it will be good for them. Word came that the three furniture thieves had finally confessed to many robberies, and their unsold loot was recovered. Among the pieces were all the heirlooms they had stolen from the Turners. One evening, Mr. Drew came home wearing a broad smile. Facing Nancy and laying both hands on her shoulders, he said, "We've won, my dear. The will you located has been accepted as the last one Mr. Crowley wrote." "Oh, Dad, how wonderful," she cried, whirling her father about in a little dance. "First thing tomorrow morning, may I go and tell Allison and Grace and the others?" "I think that would be a fine idea. Of course, the bank and I will formally notify them later." The following morning, Nancy was the first one downstairs and started breakfast before Hannah Gruen appeared. "My goodness, you're an early bird, Nancy," the housekeeper said with a smile. "Big day, eh?" "Very big," Nancy replied. As soon as the family had eaten, Hannah said, "Never mind helping me today. You run along and make those people happy as soon as possible." "Oh, thank you, Hannah. I'll leave right away." Nancy, dressed in a simple green linen sports dress with a matching sweater, kissed her little family goodbye and drove off. Her first stop was at the Matthews brothers. They greeted her affably, then waited for Nancy to speak. "I have good news," she said, her eyes dancing. "Mrs. Topham lost her case. The will Dad and I found has been accepted for probate. You'll receive the inheritance Mr. Crowley left you."
"Praise be," Fred cried. "And we never would have received it if it hadn't been for you."
His brother nodded in agreement. To cover her embarrassment at their praise, Nancy reached into her pocket and pulled out a handful of travel folders and airline schedules. "I thought you might like to look at these. Now I must hurry off and tell the other heirs." As she drove away, the two men smiled, waved, then immediately began to look at the folders. "I hope they have a grand trip," Nancy thought. Half an hour later, she pulled into the driveway of the Turner home. Before the car stopped, Judy came racing from the front door. As Nancy stepped out, the little girl threw herself into the young sleuth's arms.
"Nancy, guess what? My auntie's found an old, old doll that belonged to my mommy, and they gave it to me. Come and see her. She's pretty as can be."
Judy pulled Nancy by the hand up the steps and into the house.
"There she is,"
the child said proudly, pointing to a blonde, curly-haired doll seated in a tiny rocking chair.
"Why, she's darling," Nancy commented.
"And Judy, she looks like you, dimples and all." Judy nodded.
"And Aunt Mary says she looks like my mommy did when she was a little girl, so I'm always going to take very good care of my dolly."
At this moment, her great aunts came from the rear of the house to greet their caller.
"I see," said Nancy, "that you have made Judy very happy. Now it's my turn to pass along good news to you."
And she told about their inheritance. The women smiled happily and tears came to their eyes. Then suddenly Edna Turner gave Nancy an impulsive hug.
"You dear, dear girl," she half-sobbed with joy.
"Now Judy will always be well taken care of and receive the kind of schooling we think she should have." Mary kissed Nancy and thanked the young sleuth for her untiring efforts to see justice done. Judy, meanwhile, looked on in puzzlement at the scene, but sensing that it called for her participation, she grabbed up her new doll and began to dance around with it.
"Now you can go to school too, Carol," she told her doll.
It was hard for Nancy to break away from the Turners, but she reminded them that she still had two calls to make.
"But come back soon," Judy said.
When Nancy arrived at Abby Rowan's, she was delighted to find her seated by the window in a chair. Her kind neighbor, Mrs. Jones, was there preparing food for the invalid. To this, Nancy added a jar of homemade beef broth and a casserole of rice and chicken which Hannah Gruen had insisted upon sending.
"Can you stay a little while?" Mrs. Jones asked. "I ought to run home for half an hour, then I'll come back."
"She's been so kind," Abby Rowan spoke up. "Today, she took my laundry home to wash and iron."
After the woman had left, Abby went on.
"The folks around here have been very thoughtful of me, but I just can't impose on them any longer, yet I haven't any money."
Nancy took the invalid's hand in hers and smiled.
"I came to tell you that now you have lots of money, left to you by Josiah Crowley."
"What? You mean I won't have to depend on just my little pension any longer?" "Bless Josiah! Nancy, I never could believe that my cousin would go back on his word."
Nancy ate some broth and crackers with Abby Rowan and told the whole story. The old woman's eyes began to sparkle and color came into her cheeks.
"Oh, this is so wonderful," she said. Then she chuckled. "It does my heart good to know you outwitted those uppity Topham women."
Nancy grinned. Then she said soberly, "If I hadn't become involved in this mystery, I might never have met several wonderful people, and their names aren't Topham." Abby Rowan laughed aloud, the first time Nancy had heard her do this. She laughed again just as the neighbor returned. Mrs. Jones, amazed, had no chance to exclaim over the elderly woman's high spirits. Abby launched into an account of her inheritance. As soon as Mrs. Rowan finished the story, Nancy said goodbye and left. She now headed straight for the Hoover farm. The two sisters were working in a flower bed.
"Hi,"
Nancy called.
"Hi yourself. How's everything?"
Allison asked, as she brushed some dirt off her hands and came forward with Grace.
"Hurry and change your clothes," Nancy said. "I have a surprise for you."
"You mean we're going somewhere?" Grace inquired.
"That's right.
To Signora Mascagni's, so Allison can sign up for lessons."
"Oh, Nancy, you mean..."
"Yes, the inheritance is yours."
"I can't believe it! I can't believe it!" Allison cried out ecstatically. She grabbed the other two girls and whirled them around.
"It's simply marvelous," said Grace.
"Marvelous! Oh, Nancy, you and Mr. Crowley are just the dearest friends we've ever had."
Then, seeing Nancy's deep blush, she added, "Come on, Allison, let's get dressed." Nancy waited in the garden. 15 minutes later, the sisters were ready to leave for River Heights.
"But before we go," said Grace, "Allison and I want to give you something. It's sort of a reward."
"Something very special," her sister broke in.
"Oh, I don't want any reward," Nancy objected quickly.
"Please take this one," Allison spoke up. She led the way to the living room mantel. There stood the Crowley clock.
"We received it this morning from the Tophams," Grace explained.
Allison added, "We think you earned this heirloom, Nancy, and somehow Grace and I feel Mr. Crowley would want you to have it."
"Why, thank you," said Nancy.
She was thrilled and gazed meditatively at the old clock. Though quaint, it was not handsome, she thought. But for her, it certainly held a special significance. She was too modest to explain to Allison and Grace why she would prize the heirloom, and besides, her feeling was something she could not put into words. Actually, she had become attached to the clock because of its association with her recent adventure. "This is the first mystery I've solved alone," she thought. "I wonder if I'll ever have another one half so thrilling." As Nancy stood looking wistfully at the old clock, she little dreamed that in the near future she would be involved in the hidden staircase mystery, a far more baffling case than the one she had just solved. But somehow, as Nancy gazed at the timepiece, she sensed that exciting days were soon to come. Nancy ceased daydreaming as the clock was handed to her and looked at the Hoover girls. "I'll always prize this clock as a trophy of my first venture as a detective," she said with a broad smile. This is Laura Linney. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Secret of the Old Clock by Carolyn Keene. This program was produced and directed by John McElroy. Executive producer, Laura Wilson. Text copyright, 1987, 1959, 1930, by Simon & Schuster, Incorporated. Production copyright, 2001, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.